Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Dirt Radio, S-T-O-R-C, Dirt Radio to be exact, on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
By the way, I've got a great sponsor that's going to help this whole 3 hours of radio out. It's called Southwest Point of Sale. And if you happen to own or operate a liquor store, grocery store, retail store, you need their help. They've been around since 1975, over 150 years experience. What does that mean to you? Well, call 800-540-2149. Talk to Jeff, Mark, Beth, Ted, Tony, or Ramon, and they will explain to you how point-of-sale systems from National Cash Register can help build your business. They service everything they sell on-site 7 days, 24 hours a day, NCR, self-checkout for grocery stores. Come on, get up with the 20th century. Labor costs skyrocketing, and self-checkout is the solution. Look how well Walmart and Home Depot and Costco are doing. They manage a whole lot more. So when you have any questions, again, 800-540-2149, or you can go to facebook.com/southwestpros. All right, this segment's also brought to you by the great folks at Alpha Site Logistics. They are serving Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers,
structures,
dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Give them a call at 760-352-8383. That's 760-352-8383. And ask for your quote today. And by the way, if you like the shows we're doing here, you need to respond to our sponsors. And please just tell them thank you. And even if you're not going to do business with them, at least give them a call and say, hey, thanks for supporting SDORC Dirt Radio. Audrey Mason's in the house along with Wild Man Ed.
Ow.
Woo-hoo.
Ow. I'd throw that out there, huh? So, boy, I tell you what, great week.
Great week.
Getting
excellent
close
week
to the Rebel Rally.
I am getting super excited. Oh, I cannot even
She's
tell you.
Angel.
She is a godsend. She is the legendary Sumeed Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame Dakar winner. Yeah. First woman Dakar championship winner.
Yeah. And she's paying it forward. She's helping the young whippersnappers
yes,
out.
I cannot even tell you. I was privileged with an hour and a half of her time on Tuesday. And then a half hour of her time yesterday. She's on the line today joining us. I invited her in to come in and talk with us. She should be on the line right now. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Hi. Hey, two of my favorite people. And I can't tell you how much I love to hear Dirt Radio. What a name. That is fantastic.
That's us. Don't you love it? Don't you love it?
Dirt Radio.
Well, you know, we got to get the word out, you know, because let's face it, Sue, off-roaders and rally racers, they're kind of in an isolated, you know, venue. They don't have the big stadiums. They're not in a big circle where everybody can watch. Television only does highlights. So it's important that folks realize everything from the Nora to the Baja to the Dakar to the Rebel to the to the Gazelle, all of these rallies, if people knew about them, I mean, they would be absolutely blown away. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that venue supports females probably more than any other motorsports out there, wouldn't you say, outside of NHRA drag racing?
I completely agree with you. And as you know, we're in Nora territory today with the Mexican 1000 and the, I believe it was the San Felipe 250 just ended last week. So look what's going on. And Audrey, you're looking at Rebel. Amy Lerner and I are working on our participation back at the Dakar Rally. There's so much going on. But Dave, to your point, you and I are test drivers. We all love cars. Yeah. So many of the vehicles, including the two that we're going to talk about today, are for people who want to get in the dirt or want to go overlanding or want to have all-wheel drive traction. There are so many more vehicles today on the market, mostly SUVs and trucks, as we know. Those are the top-selling categories. So we do need to get more folks on your show and talk about how folks are using those vehicles every day and how they're setting them up for off-road racing.
Absolutely. What vehicle did you want to talk about first?
Well, I want to say it was so cool to see you because I haven't seen you for a bit this week in Tucson.
Yeah.
Where we drove the, what would it be called?
Santa Cruz.
Well, the Santa Cruz was revealed.
Yeah.
And that was such a treat. There haven't been any drives for that yet. It will go on sale this summer. But I loved the new Tucson. And I have to tell you guys, I arrived there to drive it, little nervous about COVID travel, no problems.
Right.
The program was very COVID conscious. But Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's 16 vehicles in the same class, which is called subcompact, for the Tucson. And I have to tell you, I was a little worried thinking, what is going to stand out? There are more and more players. But there were so many things that stood out for me. I'm a big fan of Hyundai and Kia for their 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
and
that's big.
All of their, right? All their standard tech, all their standard goodies on board. But I was really impressed by the newest gen Tucson. There were just so many things to like about it, including its price. But two quick things, and then I want to, you know, I'd love to hear what you have to think, too.
Sure.
I think the first thing that really surprised me is that it's still called a subcompact because it looks like, and it clearly spans the compact class, but it looks bigger. It is bigger. It holds five, and it's got more cargo room and best-in-class, I think, rear seat room. So first of all, it looks like a bigger package, drives like a good small one. But the other thing that I was really impressed by was my first impression was that it was a much higher price, upscale vehicle, more like a, you know, premium or mid luxury vehicle because of its looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So let me ask you this, because you're right. You will not be confused when you see the Hyundai Tucson. You'll know exactly what it is when you see it. The front end is done in such a way. I interviewed one of the engineers, Trevor, and they worked really hard on making that vehicle stand out in a very, very crowded market. Now, did you take that 26-mile off-road course?
Of course I did. I had so much fun on that. Did you drive that as well?
No, okay. I did not.
I went to a
Prima Aviation Museum because Michael Herzig didn't want to go off-road. Which was fine. I didn't have any problem with it, but Brian Armstead said he was never so scared in his life. He said it was majorly capable, but he said that off road course was no course for somebody that's never been off road. He said it scared the you know what skis out of him.
So oh my goodness!
And I know it didn't scare you, right, Sue?
Not for a nanosecond. And I think the takeaway was it had more, a little more ground clearance than would have thought. Hyundai had sprayed orange paint on a few rocks that could have been gotcha. But I can understand why someone who's not used to backcountry dirt roads that have that scrabbly surface where you can kind of skittle along.
Yep.
One could be nervous because there were a lot of drop-offs at places. But what I noticed, what I always do in a vehicle is when it's good, flat ground at the start of my drive, I brake to see how good the tires are, what the braking is. I always pay attention early on. And what I found was this just stuck to the dirt. And there was only one time in 26 miles where I went around a corner and I felt myself just slip the tiniest bit. Another technique for
me, the fun part.
Hold that thought for 1 second. We do have to take a break. And by the way, Brian said it was 30,000 foot drop off to the left. I don't know if that's true or not. He said it was 30,000 feet. So
it felt like
that's what I thought. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to STURC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by Wayne Miller Tire. Nobody likes that round rubber thing more than Wayne Miller, and he'll do anything that has to do with tires. He'll bail you out on the side of the freeway, on in your home, even out of the desert if you're really nice to him and smile and bring him chocolate chip cookies, right?
Actually, yes.
See, I told you. He's so weak. But Audrey has got a gold platinum credit card with Wayne Miller because nobody destroys tires more than Audrey. When she has a flat, she just goes 20 miles an hour faster because she figures centrifugal force will keep the tire up.
I did, actually,
see,
in the dunes.
I told you. What's the phone number? Hey, what's the phone number?
619-596-2800. Go ahead and give him a call.
All right. Hey, we've got Sue Mead on the line. Sue Mead is a well-established automotive journalist, and you're on the jury, aren't you? North American car and truck jury?
I am, and we haven't formally announced it. It'll probably be this week, but I'm also now on the Women's World Car Jury.
Ah.
Wow. That means we're getting the pre-announcement for that. That's kind of huge.
Yeah. Yes, you are. I've thought about it for years, and I'm finally going to be on it. And with my international travel that's picking up again, I felt like this was going to be a good fit for me.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have enough jobs, but hey, you know, it's always good to add another one.
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to the, because everybody's going, Hyundai, Tucson, off-road, capable, really?
Yeah.
Scratch your head?
I'm scratching my head.
But I think that
Subaru?
Was...
Subaru? It's like as good as a Subaru?
I think it's going at, don't you think it's going after the Subaru market?
Yeah, absolutely it's going after the Subaru market. And, you know, Subaru's known for the beauty of its all-wheel drive. And the Tucson has an incredible all-wheel drive system, which throws traction across both the front and the rear axle. And that's why it didn't shake around on the road and on the dirt in the backcountry. So that's really impressive to me. I've raced 6,000 miles in a Kia Sportage, and which, of course, is the same company. Mm-hmm. Although they don't always co-advertise, I see that they're doing something together at the present, which is great. But their engineering is just superb. And not everyone knows, but there are just so many more Hyundai sales. Their sales have just grown exponentially. But I think we heard that they were top in the U.S. News and World Report for SUV satisfaction. So a couple of things I loved, and I'll just say really quickly because it's going to help us get to the Santa Cruz, which is the same, or if we run out of time, we could do that another time, but it's the same footprint with a lockable small bed in the back. But what's cool is that there are four trims, including a N-line, which is a little bit of a performance styling version, and there are three different engines. There's the 2.5 liter four with an 8-speed automatic transmission. By the way, I loved its drive.
How much horsepower?
And then,
do you know?
horsepower is 187, and torque is 178. With fuel economy, that's in the front wheel drive, that's like 33. But then there's a turbocharged 1.6 with an electric engine for a hybrid package. I drove that, and there will be a plug-in. So I said the pricing is great. Oh, and by the way, on the backcountry, I was also using paddles, and I bet Brian wasn't.
No, he was not. He was hanging on. He never got to the paddle. He melted the steering wheel. He was hanging on so tight.
I wish that we weren't in COVID times, and I would have driven with him and taught him how he could feel so comfortable. So, as you guys know, when you have a manual transmission, and so many of our automatics have manual gearing and have paddles, it's right there, literally at your fingertips. And so what I was doing was gearing down, powering through the corners, and that makes a huge difference. But so pricing starts at $24,000 and goes up to $36,000, which will get you in the all-wheel drive limited. And the hybrids start at $29,000 and go up to $37,000. I don't know if that includes this new plug-in. I think we didn't get.
I don't think they talk pricing.
I wonder if that gets a write-off here in California. I'm almost debating if I should have bought that. What's the turbo horsepower? Is that turbo horsepower with that one?
I didn't have my notes in front of me, but we're talking about the
Tucson.
About the Tucson right now. Okay.
Right.
Do you have your notes in front of you? Horsepower was?
Yeah, I did homework before I got on with you guys. Let's see. Turbocharge was 261.
That sounds better. 261. That's pretty awesome.
Small car down the road.
I can imagine that hitting that in the dunes and having that little turbo in there. I bet you that does awesome through the dunes.
Yeah. Well, you know what I heard, and I don't know if you've tried this, Sue, but I've been talking to some people that went to Moab. There was a big event up there with Jeep.
Safari.
And they got to drive the plug-in Jeep, and the off-roaders up there said that the electric mode was phenomenal for crawling around the boulders up there versus gas engine. Have you had the chance to do that yet, Sue?
I haven't. There was a program this week for a small number of journalists, I think in Austin.
Yeah.
And I talked to Pierce Umlauf, who was the person behind the scenes that developed the course, and he said it's incredible. So, and they had some really steep rocks to ascend and descend, and it sort of speaks to what you're saying, because we often think about the torque when we think about electric or hybrid, right? So cool to hear that, you know, that's also working the gearing for some smooth, cool off-roading.
Well, I think it's going to help because, you know, let's face it, they're sort of stuffing electric power down our throats to a certain degree, but if that electric propulsion is a benefit, I think it's going to be fine. So let's go back to Santa Cruz real quick, because you only got like 4 minutes. I've had people say, oh, it looks like a Honda Ridgeline. Everybody knows Hyundai never builds anything that's like anybody else's. So I think once we get behind the wheel of the Ridgeline, I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. I like the styling of it. I like the capability, because you know as well as I do, Sue, if you put a nice 2-inch lift on that, nice set of tires and wheels, brush guards, maybe a winch, that thing will go anywhere.
I don't know the dimensions compared to the Ridgeline. There's a lot I like about the Ridgeline, but this is the size of the Maverick. And I think what's cool is that our market is diversifying. Mm-hmm. And the Ranger moved up in size, and now to have something, we'll have this Maverick coming out soon, and to have this in that smaller footprint is so exciting. And just like the it's based on the Tucson package with 3,500 pounds of towing, and all kinds of tech goodies. I was looking back at my notes, and it's got available Bose sound, wireless charging, digital key, and 8-speed transmission, paddles. They're just
awesome.
And it's so stylish. It's really, I mean, I love the look. When they pulled the blanket back on that, I thought, OMG, this is going to be. And I personally didn't even know it was coming. So it kind of caught me off guard when I seen that we were going to see the Santa Cruz. I was like, well, what the heck's a Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be another home run for Hyundai. And it'll probably be in the same.
White. I thought, who's going to put white on this? That white was so gorgeous. I wanted to lick it. It was like vanilla ice, wasn't it? And that lockable stowage in the floor of the bed, a home run, home run.
Without a shadow of a doubt. You got to get out more, girl, if you're starting to lick cars.
I'm crazy about cars. I still am. Yeah. 33 years later.
You always have been. And before we go, I want to thank you. Truly from the bottom of my heart that you're helping Audrey and Nicole make it to the Rebel. I think it's really going to make such a huge impact on females in motorsports, whether it's off-road, circle track, drag race, I don't care what it is. It just puts a message, a positive message out to the females out there that they're more than capable of competing. You know, granted, there's no guys running this event. But sponsorships, big companies are going to look at these young ladies because, let's face it, we are getting a little bit more diversified, and they're realizing, hey, you know, women can do this just as well as everybody else. Sue, I cannot thank you for taking time out of your day. How do people follow you around?
Facebook, a little bit on Instagram, and Tread Magazine, automotivemap.com, a few other places. Just do a quick search on Google and a bunch will come up.
All right. Hey, always good talking to you. Go take whatever you're driving and go off-road someplace.
Thanks. Don't tell Lexus taking their sedan off-road today, but I might.
I wouldn't say anything, but I've got a Lexus IS 350 F Sport. I might go do the same
That's
thing.
What I have.
I know.
I got the match to it.
Isn't that a fun car?
Oh, my goodness. It might see a little dirt road this afternoon. Yeah.
Do like I do. Right. I already called him and said I can't find it, so you're going to have to go get another one to put in the press fleet.
I love you guys. And, Audrey, I hope people are listening that want to help you. There's a lot more to come for you and Nicole, and I look forward to it.
All right,
kiddo.
Thanks
a
lot.
Sue.
We're going to take a quick break. Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by
PRMI, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. Chris Wiley out in Alpine. You need some help. You're looking to refi your home. You're looking to buy a home. You want an FHA loan. He is your specialist. Reach out to him. Chris Wiley out in Alpine, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc., PRMI, at 619-722-1303.
And if you see his big silver Ram truck out there with a Trump sticker on the window, get out of his way.
Oh, he's coming.
He's hardcore, dude. He loves off-roading. All right, we've got Audrey and Ed in the house. We want to thank Sue Mead for taking time out of her day. Now she's going to go destroy a perfectly good Lexus, but that's okay. It's a
I hope she
car.
Has fun doing it.
She has fun every time she gets behind the wheel of anything. Well, Edward, you got
a few things.
You got a few things.
And in a little while, Brian Henry from the American Sand Association is going to come on and talk about his organization and stuff going on. And for us here, we're working on a couple of things. I just recently heard that Moab, somebody sent me sort of a frantic email about the trails are all going to close around Moab. So I did a little research, and I found that the Bureau of Land Management is doing an environmental assessment looking at the trails in the greater region, like 300,000 acres and 1,232 miles of inventoried routes. So they're going to look over the routes and see if they all need to stay in service, in use.
And this could be a good thing, and this can be a bad thing. Because when
It's unlikely to improve, but it's hopefully it will stay the same, and we could lose trails.
Yeah.
So I looked at it, and what they're doing now, it's called scoping. So when a federal agency goes through the process to do something with the land, they have to go through the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, has a lot of rules, and they begin with scoping, and they say, we're thinking about doing this. What do people in the public think? So you can write comments at this time.
This is very important for everybody to reach out right now. This is when we really need comments to reach out right now and share your opinion.
So I wrote comments for SDRC. Comment period ends April 26th. And I said, please keep all these routes open. And the email I got, Slavin Racing, they listed the routes that are in the area they're looking at. Gemini Bridges, Rusty Nail, Golden Spike, Gold Bar Rim, Golden Crack, Poison Spider, Monitor and Merrimack, 7 Mile Rim, Bull Canyon, Whitewash Dunes, 10 Mile Canyon, Bartlett, Toucher, Determination Towers, Mashed Potatoes, Secret Spire. You know, off-roaders come up with the greatest
names.
What
are you talking about?
We do have some of the best
names. You
got to
stay here if you want to know what's going on in the show.
Just give a little direction to the board op, but
3D Dead Cow, the Tubes, and all the single track trails surrounding the dunes. So all these routes are in the air. Those are the names of dirt roads routes that are being looked at by the Bureau of Land Management. They're all in the Moab area.
They're gonna close.
I've mountain biked some of those routes. Well, they're looking at them. An environmental group is giving them pressure, so they've opened an environmental assessment. So there's two things. There's an environmental assessment and there's an environmental impact report or a statement. Mm-hmm. And the EIS is the bigger, harder one. So an environmental assessment, they just sort of, they don't look at making big changes. So that's good that they're only doing an environmental assessment. So in my comments, I said, please keep all these trails open. All the people love Moab. It's world known. Americans.
Yeah. International.
All over.
International, yeah.
People all over America. I've gone there from San Diego to go off-roading, and my friends have. So we love the area. Please keep the routes open. So I'm on their distribution list. So when they get to the draft of the environmental assessment, that's when the comments really count. Right now, this is the scoping comments. Mm-hmm. They count a little bit. It kind of helps them steer what they want to do. But the draft comments, when you comment at the draft, that gives you standing. And if you don't like what they end up with, that will allow you to sue. If you don't make comments at the draft, you can't sue the agency.
But I think it's also really important to have comments at the scoping period as well.
I agree.
Because we need to overwhelm them with keeping it open.
You just sort of steer them the direction you want.
Can the general public get involved?
Oh, yeah, everybody can.
Absolutely.
You can definitely.
Where do they go?
The Bureau of Land Management.
I'll put it on our Facebook page, too.
Just go to BLM.
BLM and Moab.
Yeah, they'll have a link, I'm sure.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard for me to find.
Well, if you can find it, anybody can find it.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody.
Mr. Computer.
So in California, the legislature has been at work. There's stuff going on. Last week, I talked about some of the bills. Our bill, AB 232, the reciprocity registration bill, passed the entire assembly. So it got passed through the whole House. Last week I talked about it making it through the Appropriations Committee. So it went to the House and it voted. It was passed. So it's heading to the Senate. We think it's going to fly through, but we'll know when it does. There's another bill that's going to committee tomorrow, AB 1512, which is just like SB 799. And this is a bill that will direct state parks to sell part of an off-road park, Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area. We vigorously oppose this bill. Diana Mead is speaking on behalf of off-roaders for that bill tomorrow. It's going to be late. I think it's going to be like after 6.
Yeah, I think it's from 6 to 9. It's open tomorrow
evening. So I'm going to call in and give my opinion. In fact, there's a Corva conference call tomorrow night, so I may have to duck out to do that, which will be kind of fun. SB 227 is going to the Natural Resources and Water Committee, and that's the bill that will allow racing motorcycles to continue to be registered and used on public land with a bunch of stipulations. So a week or 2 weeks ago, it passed the Senate Transportation Committee 12-2. It went pretty good. So I saw the analysis of this bill for the Natural Resources and Water Committee, and boy, they were hard on the bill, and I don't know if it's going to make it through. I was really surprised. We'll have to see. They actually sort of recommend that the bill doesn't even need to take place, that there's enough existing law to do what the author's intending to do. So I don't know. That's going to be a tough one. Let's see. The Bureau of Land Management has approved the new Kaweah Ranger Station by issuing a record of decision.
Ooh.
I think just yesterday or day before.
I didn't even see that. I'm surprised that's not in my email. That's really good news. That means we get a new ranger station for Glamis.
Yeah, and this is the ranger station on the north side on Gecko Road by 78.
Mm-hmm.
And the existing ranger station, it's has some mobile homes that are bolted together. It's not very good.
It's falling apart, literally.
It's not in great shape. And, you know, the rangers there, the weather is not very good there. Sometimes it's nice. They can have sandstorms. It can be bitter cold, and it can be super hot.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a good place to be. And mobile homes just can't give the kind of facilities that the staff need to do stuff and to manage the area. So we're looking forward to a new ranger station. And this has been in the works for years. They've mm-hmm. been talking about it. I can remember, I don't know, 7-8 years ago.
I was going to say almost 10 years ago, when I first joined.
Yeah, that Tom Zale, with a former manager of the office, said, we would love to get a new ranger station. And we talked about the steps it would take, and we're thinking, well, this might take 10 years. So we're a little more than halfway, and maybe we're on track.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That'd be really great.
Yeah, it really would. You know, I was thinking maybe, you know, because the military has those kind of like a trailer. You know, but they're made out of steel, and I think
a Quonset hut.
No, they look like a trailer. In fact, you see them if you go past Camp Pendleton to the west, out there in that big empty field.
Yeah,
no, it's an act. I mean, it looks like a double wide, but it's solid steel, which could take any kind of weather.
Oh, the sea containers.
Probably some shelling.
Yeah.
And some shelling.
Bunker status.
But they're going to build, it'll be like the Buttercup. I don't know if you've seen the Buttercup Ranger Station. It's brick building. It's a real building.
That's a real building.
That's
it's
what
nice.
They need. And they need like a special room for medical attention, a special room to hold people who are being detained.
Right. Yes.
They need a place to work on vehicles.
An actual jail.
Yeah.
So they want to put in a shower and lockers in a sleeping area because the staff, there's a few big weekends. Yeah. Thanksgiving weekend, it's all hands on deck. Everyone needs to work. They work long hours.
Yep.
So
air conditioning, heat.
The people that work there, they don't live near, nobody lives near Glamis. No. They live like in El Centro or wherever they live.
Or San Diego.
I don't know. Maybe Yuma.
Maybe. But, you know, and if they were to air condition it with solar, you know.
Now you're going far.
I bet you we could go to somebody like Mozzie Heating and Air and say, hey, how about helping us out? $20 says he'll hook you up.
That'd be awesome. I know they're going to go solar, but
get
a sponsorship for the solar power for the roof.
And there's going to be somebody in solar that's going to want to have their name on it, the fact that they donated.
Is government. It'll never go that way.
Radio's only half of your skills.
No, I'm not talking my side
you,
of it.
You could do the other half is you could be
but can
selling
you
this stuff.
If every time
Neil Hamada
said Heating and Air sponsored by
Don't knock the BLM used Boy Scouts Eagle Scout project to do some work on the Buttercup station. So they're willing to go outside the box.
They're willing
to go outside the box and figure out how to solve.
That's
a great idea. Let's
if you don't ask, you're never going to know.
I know the people in the office, so I'll bring that up to them.
Yeah.
And Dave Stahl will.
I'll hook them up with the Mozzies. You know, I mean, just bought a Ferrari. Come on. I mean, he can kick a little AC. And he'll get it donated from the company that he gets his stuff from. I'll bet you any kind of money.
Were you at the museum the other day with him?
Which museum?
The automotive?
The automotive.
The Ferraris?
Yeah, in Balboa.
I was there. Yeah. Oh, Mazzy wasn't there. He wasn't there with a Ferrari.
Oh, no, he wasn't there. Well, you just said you were there with 24 Ferraris.
I actually looked for his, and he wasn't. I don't know. He had to belong to the Ferrari club.
Oh. I'm not in that club. I missed the invitation.
With your little kicker?
With my Suzuki Sidekick.
They didn't let you in?
Well, it's red, and Ferraris are red.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's
how that works.
All right. I'm starting to throw up. So we're going to take
just a little bit.
Yeah, just it's right in the throat. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to start a Suzuki.
And we'll talk to Brian. Yeah, that's a good car. Don't knock
it
till you try it.
We're going to start a club. And
you'll never get a speeding ticket in that thing.
That's right. And we're going to get the Attorney King to wrap it gold, and you'll be on top of the world. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to SDRC Dirt Radio with FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, if you want to help out, join SDORC. These guys and girls work their you know what's off to try to help you keep the desert open. Because if you ever drive out there and all of a sudden something's not open and you start whining, you can't whine to SDORC and Corvin, all the other great organizations that are working diligently 7 days a week in Sacramento, in D.C., to try to keep these environmental groups from shutting us down. Yep. It would make perfectly good sense if they were shutting us down and there was a reason and it made sense. We would all be on board. These closures make no sense.
Yep.
So, folks, $25. That's breakfast for two, okay? Eat cereal one morning and send a check into SDORC.org. Please help us out.
So we have Brian on the line. Brian is the president of the American Sand Association, and they're a partner to SDORC with our state lobbyists.
Excellent.
And they're also a membership organization. They're a nonprofit, and they do a lot of activities, primarily around the Imperial Sand Dune Recreation Area, but also other sand areas around the country. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Brian, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on board.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What's new? What's going on?
Well, before we do that, if you don't mind, let's have him explain a little bit about what your organization is, does,
of course.
And if you're looking for people to help join up, how do they do it, and what does it cost?
Sure, real simple. The American Sand Association was formed back in the summer of 2000. There was, as many of our constituents know, there was a very major threat. We wound up with a temporary closure of 49,000 acres out at the Imperial Sand Dunes over a plant that was listed as threatened under the Federal Endangered Species Act law. It took us 14 years and about $2 million to fight that particular fight. And fortunately, we were able to prevail and get about 40,000 acres back. We still have 9,000 closed. It's considered critical habitat out there. And so that's one of the other things that we're one of the issues that we still focus on in the Imperial Sand Dunes.
Okay. And what's your website?
Much like our website is www.americansandassociation.org. And much like San Diego Off-Road Coalition, we offer a $25 supporting membership, $25 a year. And thanks to one of our generous sponsors, you actually get a credit back of $25 for parts and accessories. That lets you basically it's a wash for the.
Is that
the
Rocky
membership.
Mountain?
Yeah, where what company is that?
That would be Rocky Mountain ATV.
I've gotten a few of those cards, and I buy motorcycle parts from them. That's a great company.
Absolutely, they've been a great partner of ours, and really have helped us grow our supporting membership base. Which, as everybody in this community knows, all of the associations, all the volunteer organizations, we rely completely on donations, sponsorships, and memberships to keep the fight going, to keep the dunes open, so or all lands open.
Keep it up.
Yep.
Are you guys involved in anything with Oceano Dunes right now?
In fact, we are. Yeah. As a matter of fact, just this past week, we filed a lawsuit against California Coastal Commission and Cal Parks. Basically, the crux of the argument is that Cal Coastal Commission violated California state law in trying to issue modify the permit that allows for the development at the Oceano Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area, when their permit, the way it's worded, has absolutely nothing to do with OHV use at that particular facility. So that's the crux of our argument, and we'll see how that plays out in the courts.
Well, it sounds like you have a pretty good track record, even though it took 14 years. One, you don't give up, kind of a bulldog mentality, which I like to see in an organization because, you know, it's like all these people leaving California. I go, where are you going? Where are you going? Yeah. Stay and fight. Come on. You don't think that the state is not worth fighting for? Come on.
Now, you guys may not know this, but in the year 2000, I think it was Grant George and another guy came to an SDRC meeting. They said they had the idea to start it. Were you there? I can't remember.
That was Vince Brunasso and, because the three founders were Vince Brunasso, Jerry Seer, and Keith Rosewitz. San Diego Off-Road Coalition gave the ASA its very first donation to help get us started. So
I remember the meeting. I was there.
That's excellent.
I think we gave him $500 or $1,000 to get
started, get
just
off
to
the
get
ground.
Off the ground, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
are you a 501c3?
We are a 501c4, so that we can lobby, which was one of the big things we wanted to make sure we were able to do. So
very important. Very important.
Yeah, as Ed mentioned, we're in partnership with SDORC and other organizations with our lobbyist up in Sacramento, and of course, we're always looking to expand that out and take a look at where else. What are the partnerships we need to take on in order to make sure that all these areas stay open? We're sand dune specific because, like myself, I've been going to the dunes since I was 3 years old back in the early 70s. Yep. And it's just my favorite place to go. You know, when, growing up as a kid in Southern California, in the winter it was Dumont and Glamis. And then in the summer it was Pismo. So to see those areas get attacked and come under fire, it's just one of those things that it works right at the heart of my heritage, right at the heart of my roots. And those are my favorite places to go, and I'm going to keep fighting to make sure they stay open so I can continue to go until I can't do so anymore.
Yeah. Right.
We appreciate that. We really do.
I remember being a little girl and going to Dumont Dunes and just seeing the one dune and just thinking it was the biggest dune 5,000
miles
seen
high.
In my life at Dumont Dunes.
Yeah. Now, Brian, are you guys looking for help with your organization?
Yes,
you explain what that is?
Sure. So basically what we've got going on is, as I said, we celebrated 20 years last year. But as we start to move forward, our board has changed. The demographic of our constituency has changed. And recently, our executive director, Nicole Gillis, and the ASA parted ways. Completely mutual and amicable. It was something that we looked at was best for both Nicole and for the organization. And so now looking for a new executive director. So in the meantime, I'm taking on that role, which is a full-time job in and of itself.
It sounds hard.
But, it is.
Especially if you have your own job and your own life.
On a daily basis to run a company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have anything else and you're filthy rich. You know, I mean, that makes that job super easy, right?
If that were only true.
I know, right?
I could tell by the laugh. I said, like, what is that knucklehead saying?
Well, that position for you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a paid position for you guys? Like all of our, every other position is a volunteer position, correct?
I'm a volunteer. Yeah. I'm a sucker.
Exactly. But our one and only paid full-time position is our executive director.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you want
people to run ASA?
So what kind of background are you looking for? People with nonprofit background or advocacy?
Nonprofit background's definitely helpful, but the advocacy and especially the passion for the job.
There
is
you
critical.
Go.
And caring about the dunes. Yeah. You can learn the details.
About the dunes, caring about the environment, caring about our business sponsors, of course, our supporting members. All those people that help make our job possible or make our efforts possible.
You need somebody that'll get off the couch.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yes.
And you need to get involved with both. Like, for example, if Ed didn't have a full-time job, he'd be absolutely perfect. If Audrey didn't have a full-time job, she would be absolutely perfect. And I think that's the problem. You know, we need to get somebody that's either retired or independently, self-sustaining. They can devote, 14, 15 hours a week?
They want to pay somebody
a job. I agree. And,
maybe it won't be a high-paying job.
That's my point. It's not maybe $100,000 a year, but it's enough to, just to at least
if you were truly being an advocate, it's over a 40-hour-a-week job.
I know.
Like, I volunteer my time, and I at a minimum I spend 10 hours a week on doing research, looking into, you know, making comments, commenting on certain things, the behind the scenes, and
that's
following
what I said.
It.
If you didn't have a full time job,
yeah. So it, I mean, a full time it's a 40 to 60 hour a week.
That's
job
why I was saying 12 to 14 a day. I wasn't talking about a week.
A day.
I was talking about
that's
Jared
hard.
Jared McLeod.
Yeah. He does a lot.
Jared McLeod.
Whatever just, that means.
Yeah, I'm throwing a name out there.
Now that we he all have our throats.
He does a lot of stuff.
So if anybody wants to apply for that position, since we are the only off-road radio show that I'm aware of in Southern California, there might be others out there. God bless them. Go to AmericanSandAssociation.org, and I'm sure there's a button for employment.
Actually, there isn't at this point, so the best way is going to be to email me, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N-H, at asasand.org.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll go from there. The biggest number one qualifying factor we're looking for above and beyond everything really is leadership. Now, this, the executive director position, the way we've laid it out, this is the person that is the spearhead, the one right on the very edge of doing everything that we need to do, right, and needs to know how to lead a group, how to delegate, and how to manage themselves very well in order to make sure that we're getting done what we need to get done.
My understanding is this person has been really involved with the Make Glamis Safe Again and the Safe Railroad Crossing. And Brian, I had Sue come on first. I was blessed with and privileged with some of her time this week, so I asked her to come on. I missed your email. I apologize about coming on today, but I would like to have you come back on. If you could give us an update on the Glamis crossing, railroad crossing, and where that's standing. You know, I've got on the phone once or twice with Lance Ricotta from Boardmanville, and he's a super busy man, so trying to get an interview with him. But I would love to have you back.
Yeah, we will, and we got to go. We got to pay some bills at this end too.
Yep,
Brian, thank you very much, folks. It's AmericanSandAssociation.org. Give them $25. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got more coming up, and this we want to thank Southwest Point of Sale. If you own a little business and you want to get better revenue coming in, then you need to go to South Point of Sales right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.